Brigadier Wilson, Reel 2. Brigadier Wilson, when you got to France, did your idea about how long the war would last change? Did you still think it would be a short war?
No, I don't think... I can't remember having any thoughts about that at all. I was so pleased to be with the battalion that I wanted to serve in. I had no thoughts about that at all. Just happy to go on.
Before you went out to the Western Front, what did you think it was going to be like?
Well, I hadn't got any real ideas. I remember... I'd had been on manoeuvres and things with the territorials, I mean, in the camps, in several camps with them. And we had the same conditions, of course. I didn't envisage the living in trenches and that sort of thing. I only thought of there was an heroic side of that thing of lying in a long line of men firing at Germans. Nothing much more than that, I'm afraid. It's all quite different, of course.
How did it prove to be very different?
Well, it's quite different. I found the battalion were in a loose sector, and there were billets in a mining village of Libreby, and their life was fairly comfortable. They went up and they did so many days in the chalk pits, where they were, in some places, within about 30 or 40 yards of the Germans. And I can remember my first impression of them I arrived when they were in the line. My first impression of them all of them being covered from head to foot in chalk, lime, like a lot of millers. But... the spirit was, I immediately caught the spirit of the men, which is quite excellent, wonderful. A very, very large percentage of those days were regular soldiers, which included a lot of chaps who had been recalled from the reserve, of course. But they were all delighted to be back, because a lot of them had been living in pretty hard times before the First War, and they were... to come back into the family, so to speak, where they're going to get regular food and pay and all the rest of it. It made them very happy, I think, in most cases. I don't think there was any moaning and groaning about the horrors of war. That's all. I never heard any of that at all. All the time I was in battalion.
How did they get the chalk off themselves and off their uniforms? So they wait till it dried and then
yes, because we had our spit and polish braids, so always, mm-hmm. Had to have that. Just perhaps chaps could live a bit rough, and they were in the line, they had to. But then when they came out, then they shone themselves, cleaned themselves up a bit.
Were you able to get rid of lice? When you're out of the line.
Well, you got rid of it. It was a never-ending task. I think everybody who had this experience must have had the same experience as I did. And I remember the very first time I got lousy. I'd been up taking a draft up to a working party from... I was as a colour sergeant, I was down with the quartermaster's department, taking rations up and all that sort of thing, and taking the party up. I was appointed to a company as a quartermaster sergeant. Colour sergeant is the basic rank, but when you look after the accounts of your company, you're a quartermaster sergeant. I was a spare file, so to speak, and I was just given all sorts of odd jobs, and especially taking parties up to the front line. And I remember waking up in the early morning and feeling an irritation up my arm, under my arms, and taking my shirt, my vest off, and I found I was lousy. Horrible experience. It wasn't the first time. It wasn't the last time, I mean. I was lousy a good many times after that. Of course, the trenches were infested with rats, infested with lice.
So you could get lousy just by, without living in the trenches, but just by taking a party up?
These are, as my sleeve brushed against the trench, I picked up these lice. Mm-hmm. That's how, oh yes, you couldn't avoid being lousy. Mm-hmm. But it was difficult to get written. I used to have my batman had a job to try and get them clean, of course, but we managed to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. In permanently lousy, you got rid of them.
Mm. Would you still have them when you came home on the
No. Have clean clothes.
Ah, yes.
Oh yes. And I was never lousy for very long. Because I wouldn't have a moment's peace until we got rid of them. It's a constant irritation.
This being lousy hadn't been part of your expectations of
No. That was something quite new. No.
The billets that the battalion were in, were they were you on your own there, or were French people looking
after
you?
No, French people. I was billeted on a miner's family. Mm-hmm. He was away somewhere. I don't think the husband had been called out. I was billeted on an old lady and who had a daughter and a son in a little mining cottage. They were very kind, but that was a lot of people living in this village. Some of the houses were completely empty, of course, where the men were, because they had to have probably five or six men to a room and that kind of thing. And the cellars were occupied to some extent too, although it wasn't a very used to get strafed every now and again.
And by long range artillery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you would be 4 days in these billets and up to the
Yes. Well, I don't quite know what the period, how long the reliefs were done in those days. I just don't remember. It was later on, I think, I can remember we used to do four days in the front line, 4 days in support, and 4 days in reserve. Then that went on sort of all through that. It was all winter of 17. That routine went on. I can't remember what the routine was when we were in Le Breby. The stamines were open, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So men used to be able to get a drop of very weak French of beer. And then you used to hear these shells going over, and there'd be a lull, and you'd hear the whine of a shell going on, there'd be a lull, and everybody wondering whether they're going to pitch near us or not. But we didn't have many casualties there.
Did you had described the courses and the training that you did. Did you find there were any particular activities or operations for which your training hadn't properly prepared you?
Well, of course, I hadn't had any. I hadn't had any training as an NCO, and as a senior NCO, you see. I'd only been the highest rank I attained in the territory was the Lance Corporal. Then I was only 17. I left the territorials in 1909 to go to train. 1911, to train, to go and to train as an army schoolmaster. So I had to, I was only a lance corporal when I left. So I had my, I wasn't equipped for to do the duties, carry out the duties of a senior NCO at that time. I had to pick all that up. The courses I did didn't really fit me for that. But the training I'm thinking of rather is more for the training for open warfare, which just didn't happen. It was all trench warfare that I went into.
And you hadn't really had any training for trench warfare?
No. And of course I didn't get that for a long time because I didn't get... I was given the company to... made a company quartermaster sergeant for a bit. But I made it quite clear that I didn't want to be a company quartermaster. I wanted rather be a platoon sergeant, which I became in 1916. Pretty soon after I got out, I became a platoon sergeant. I was much happier doing that. I didn't want to be tied to taking rations up, which is what I did most of the Somme period. At my own request, I said I didn't want to be promoted, given the company. And I became a platoon sergeant. And from that, I wanted to get a commission. I didn't want to be stay in the ranks all my life. And I couldn't see myself getting commissioned by being a company quartermaster sergeant. So I had to go and prove myself in the line. So I became a sergeant and took part in the night attack at Contlemaison, 16th of July, as a platoon sergeant. And then onwards, until the commanding officer recommended me for a commission.
Did the division or your battalion have any particular training for that night attack?
No. We were a regular brigade. It was a 3rd Brigade. And the early experiences in July, as you know, I think there were 100,000 casualties on the 1st of July. The attacks were just mown down by machine gun fire and so forth. So our divisional commander, I think in his wisdom, thought perhaps the best way to deal with this is we've got a regular brigade here, they ought to be able to do this. Put them in at night. It was a magnificent success. Any trouble was the artillery had pounded the trenches, German trenches, to pieces, and we overran our objective and had to come back. But it was a lovely sight to see the Germans pushed right back, almost out of sight. And didn't get back for 2 or 3 days. They filtered back through, first of all, snipers. But I can remember the morning after the attack, one of the battalions, not my battalion, because we were ordered to dig deep in the trenches 6 feet, which we did by spending the most of the night digging after the attack came to an end. But another battalion and our brigade was out souvenir hunting and caught... Some of them caught some souvenirs that they didn't want, I think, as the Germans put their snipers in. But it was a brilliant success, quite brilliant.
Would it have been a success if, say, a Kitchener Brigade or a Territorial Brigade had done it?
That's difficult, very difficult to say. I think it depended an awful lot on the amount of training they'd had and I think some of them, by 1916, I think some of them probably had reached a pretty high standard of training and discipline. But it was, I think this was certainly something new in the Somme fighting, and we were lucky. We were the first ones to do it, as far as I know, and it was a great success. We lost very few men. because we got the back, we got the backwash pretty soon afterwards. We had, because the counterattacks and so forth, when we lost men, but we used to, they never broke our line. We handed it over intact.